The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So it's said that one of the first lessons that many people need to learn, will learn, if they do meditation practice, is patience. And without patience, probably there's a lot of suffering in meditation practice. And part of the need for patience is that generally meditation practice is operating in a very different time frame than the time frame of our desires, our expectations, our fears. And so when things don't happen fast enough, then we get impatient, we get discouraged. But to learn to be patient with what's there and take your time and slow and steady and to let it unfold in its own time, because meditation doesn't unfold along the time frame of our desires or of our usual kind of self-centered approach to how things should be. It's kind of unfolding in a very different frame, a very different perspective. So to learn to be patient, and it's not just because we're learning to tolerate what is, but because in the patience there is hopefully space for something to operate, something to bubble up, something to happen, which is not something that we create, not something we do. An important part of practice is the part that we don't take responsibility for except for make the space to happen. There's an intelligence or wisdom within us that is different than our conscious mind. So if it's only about what we're conscious of and we consciously do, then we limit kind of what can bubble up, what can happen, how things can unfold, evolve, settle, in their own time. I've known people who tried hard, they were in a hurry to get calm. And the more the hurry they were to get calm, the less calm they were. And so they tried faster. And, you know, and so they got less and less calm. But, you know, they're trying to become calm. And sometimes there's a wanting to become, expecting to become calm. And, you know, calmness is something that you have to allow for and things can settle. And then, a certain calmness can arise. So patience is a very important quality to think about. The word, the Pali word for patience is kanti. And it's the word kanti. It's such a, in Sanskrit it's kshanti, it's such a evocative word, I believe, in Indian Buddhism. A very rich word, is considered one of the primary virtues, that I think the English word patience doesn't do it justice. Maybe we don't have a good English word that can translate this important word. Sometimes I think acceptance might be a closer word, but even that maybe is not quite it either. There are three kinds of patience that the Buddhist tradition emphasizes. There is what's called patient perseverance. So this means keeping at it, slowly, steadily. Just keep persevering in what you're doing. So don't give up. Just kind of slow and steady, keep going, keep going, keep going. And that can be true in many endeavors in life, that patient perseverance is important. Not giving up because it's difficult, because you're challenged by it or discouraged, but just kind of hold the course. Keep going, keep going. And it's very important for something like meditation practice because, if you only meditated once a year, you're not going to get the full benefits from it. A lot of benefits come from regular practice. And so as you practice regularly, then something begins to shift and change and move. I was impressed when I used to swim in the pool regularly that the swimming strokes were always the same. The crawl, just lift your hand up over to the air and down in front of you and goes through the water and you push and you go forward. It's always the same stroke. But slowly, over time, imperceptibly to me, slowly my strokes became more and more efficient. It's kind of ever so slight little adjustments in how the hand went into the water, how it turned at the shoulders. And I couldn't have planned it. It wasn't like, I couldn't have planned ahead or known. But somehow, slowly, over months and months, my strokes got imperceptibly better, better, until after a certain point, I could really tell I had efficient strokes now that I didn't have before. No one could have taught me that, but it was the regularity, thousands and thousands of strokes that my body can kind of tune in. So the same thing happens in meditation practice. Imperceptibly, so many things begin to shift in the regularity of it. Your body shifts and changes, your mind, your emotions, just kind of slowly, slowly. So the idea of patient perseverance is very important. The second is quality of patience, or aspect of patience, is patience under abuse. And so I guess we have to talk about what kind of abuse. But I don't know what the original word is in the language, but patience under challenges. Patience when things are not going well. Patience when, and the alternative to this kind of patience under abuse or under challenges, the alternative that we're trying to avoid is anger. That when we act from anger, I'd be more careful than that even. It's so important to be careful with these words when we translate them into English, because the word in the original language is hostility. So to be very careful to avoid hostility. And anger, sometimes has its place. But so not to give in to hostility. And so the patience under abuse or patience under challenges is specifically not be give in to any movement of hostility towards oneself or to the world around us. And that's a very difficult task in some circumstances. But the idea being that if you can avoid hostility, that there's a better chance for some of of your best wisdom and compassion to come forward and address the situation. So in meditation practice as well, it can be challenging to sit and meditate. Your body can hurt, your mind is not behaving properly, it gets distracted a lot. And so in those challenges, not to succumb to hostility, discouragement, and about how it's going, but again, to persevere, patient perseverance, the ability not to give in to hostility. And the third form of patience is sometimes called patience acceptance of the truth. And this is probably the one that has the most value, most broad-term value, is that the ability to recognize what's true and then to accept it, to see it, to hold it, to live by it, to adjust accordingly, to really kind of or admit it. This is the truth. So it could be about ourselves. There are aspects of ourselves which maybe are not so salutary. And so to say, oh, this is true. Or we do something in the world which maybe is unskillful, and to learn a kind of patience acceptance of this truth. This is true. Now I have to deal with that and to see it. Or the patient's acceptance of the truth might be that we see that we're operating under certain delusions. And so to see this is not true. And how do I let go of this? When I was in my first years of Buddhist practice, I started to see so acutely all the social games I played, all the ways I wanted to try to impress people or create a certain image of myself in other people's minds so they would see me a certain way. And so it was constantly how I talked, how I acted, was trying to do this, play social games. And at some point I saw how much self there was, how much self-creation and construction was going into myself, so in a certain kind of self-centeredness. I became really clear that I had to let go of it. But it was a big thing to see it clearly enough to accept and be truthful. Oh, this is true. Oh, look at that. I tried to avoid admitting it for a long time. This is true. And then I had to accept the fact that I couldn't let go of it. And that was true. And so, oh, this is true now. So I have to accept the fact that I can see what I need to do, but I can't let go of it. And so then I lived with it, and I kind of knew what the task was, and I kept practicing and kept practicing. But there was a patience with it, there was acceptance of it, I wasn't going to trouble myself by it, I was going to just hold it there. And then what was remarkable was that this attachment I had, my self-image and all that, I never saw it go away. But at some point it went away. As I continued to practice, I did some retreats, and coming out of those retreats, it was no longer there. But why that was important was I had a certain impatience, and the impatience was it took the form of things had to change for the better, and I sat like a cat at the mouse door, waiting to see it change, waiting to see it let go. Is it gone yet? Is it going? Is it going now? Is it going yet? And I wasted so much time being impatient, waiting for this to see it, and then I didn't see it go. And it went, kind of when I wasn't paying attention. So I learned from that and many times that it's better to be patient than impatient. It's better not to sit there waiting and expecting something to happen, but to do the practice steadily, not to become angry or hostile by how things are, to accept what is. And that wonderful combination, then at some point, things begin to change for the better. Sometimes you'll see them change, and sometimes you won't see the actual change, but you'll recognize it after the fact. I hope. So, patience. So, those are my words about patience, but maybe you have your own words, your own experience, your own way in which patience is a support for you. And maybe your understanding of patience is different than my understanding. So, but it's well worth considering the role and value of patience in your life. So in ways that can support you. So thank you.